When was Jesus born? When did he die and rise from the grave? And what does the timing of these events have to do with Christian theology and practice for the last 2,000 years? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is titled, When Was Jesus Really Born? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can check out When Was Jesus Really Born at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, When Was Jesus Really Born?
This is how Nelson Mandela would have wanted to be sent off. These are blessings, and in our African tradition, when it rains, when you are buried, it means that your gods are welcoming you.
Each Christmas, we celebrate the birth of a child who came into the world with only a stable's roof to shelter him, but through a life of humility and the ultimate sacrifice, a life guided by faith and kindness towards others. Christ assumed a mighty voice.
You're going to do what we want you to do, says the evangelical industrial complex. And if you don't, you might find yourself out of a job.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, the Word of God is clear here. It talks about resisting the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And it sounds fine. It sounds like a bit of an admonition and then a promise. If you resist, then he will flee. But experience, at least, seems to indicate that the devil is a little more tenacious than just, I say no, he runs away. So there is something more than I say no, he runs away. But a lot of Christians find themselves deeply frustrated, almost to the point of discouragement, when they hear Scripture say, resist the devil, fight against the devil, we pray, lead us not into temptation. Of course, we're praying that to God and not the devil. And they find themselves still tempted. They've lived as a Christian for 20, 30 years, and some of the temptations that bedeviled them 20 years ago still bedevil them, and 30 years ago still bedevil them now. Some have gone, some have come, and some new temptations have found their way into their lives. What does it really mean to resist the devil? Joining us here in the second hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, Pastor Christopher Hull. We're going to be talking about resisting the devil. A little bit later, we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. It's a simple game we play with our listeners on Fridays at the end of the week to kind of review what we've been talking about and their opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues T-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We play four soundbites. You listen, then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. You send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. And we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Your vote decides which one will be the Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's coming up here in about a half hour on Issues Etc. Pastor Christopher Hull is a regular guest. He's senior pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois, and author of an article in the latest Around the Word journal titled, Preaching the Devil Out. Christopher, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thanks for having me. Fun times.
What is the biggest misconception that Christians carry around about, in particular, about faith and resisting the devil?
In my article, I talk about faith not being this tool in our arsenal against the devil. You go to church, you get faith. You know, the gospel gives us faith. We're not going to go the decision theology, oh, faith is something I create. No, let's say Christ gives it to me. But now, Sunday afternoon through next Sunday morning, it's up to me and the faith that Christ gave me to resist that devil. I'm all alone with my faith to battle the devil. So if I fall, well, I haven't used faith the right way. I haven't been using it the way Christ wants me to. Seeing faith as something we possess, that is not given to us, something that we just possess all the time that we can use, instead of faith being that which receives Christ, a gift of the Holy Spirit that receives the benefits of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that it is Christ who overcomes the devil for us every day, not our personal belief, not our use of faith, but he who is the giver of faith, our Lord Jesus Christ.
So where do we come up with this idea that we're kind of, no one would say we're on our own against the devil, but we would, but most people would believe that resistance to the devil's temptations really is a matter of me simply exercising enough willpower to overcome whatever he's dangling in front of me. I got to either wait him out. It's a staring contest with the devil.
Yes. It's so funny. When you read through Luther's struggles, and every struggle of these good men in the faith, Walter or Sasa or Luther, when they talk about their battles with the devil, it's never me against the devil, it's Christ against the devil. And we've taken in our context today, the devil dangles his temptations, and what I learned on Sunday, what I got on Sunday, now I use today when the devil comes against me. But that's not how Scripture speaks. Christ doesn't say in John 16, take heart, I've given you faith to overcome the world, or faith to overcome the devil. He says, take heart, I have overcome. I do this. So we've allowed the little bit of leaven from that free will party. You know, it looks fun. It looks like a good time. So we take a little bit of their punch, and we drank deep. And now, when the devil comes, we don't proclaim Christ. We don't preach Christ crucified for our salvation that overcomes the snares and wickedness of the devil. Rather, we say, look at my faith. I believe. So obviously you can't attack me, devil. Or sometimes, even we may not say it, but in that deep part of our guts, look at my good deeds, devil. I'm not as bad as my neighbor is. Go bother him instead.
So what happens if, what is going to happen if we try to go toe-to-toe with the devil ourselves? I'm not just saying even by ourselves, but even ourselves.
You're going to lose. The devil's had thousands of years of practice. He overcame the first preacher, the first king of creation, our father Adam. And he won the preaching competition with the perish, that was the woman, his wife Eve. And the devil is a much sweeter preacher than you and I will ever be. His words are tempting. They're delicious to our sinful inclinations. We will not overcome the devil on our own. Only Christ can. And it's funny whenever we try to, and we all do this, it's pious thoughts. We know the sins we struggle with, the temptations the devil brings us. We go, well, I'll do these things to avoid this sin. But then the devil has you in his trap yet again. He has you in that self-righteous way of overcoming sin instead of just repenting and being forgiven. The devil doesn't want you to repent. He doesn't want you to receive absolution. He wants you to flee and go toe-to-toe with him, as you said before.
This is very counterintuitive, isn't it, Pastor, that the resistance to the devil is, in fact, to despair of one's ability to resist him.
Yes. Look at the last quote of Luther. We are beggars, this is true. It's overquoted, everybody knows it, but think of how profound this is. This is Luther, the guy who read the Old Testament three times a year, the guy who couldn't even count on his hands how many times he read the New Testament every year, and he's saying, I am a beggar. I am begging before the mercy seat of my Lord Jesus Christ. That is who you and I are. We are not the onward Christian soldiers, this let's lift high the cross because we're the soldiers. Yeah, you are, but you're a pretty weak soldier. Christ is the ultimate one. He is the one that fights for you. Despair of yourself and trust in Christ. That is what overcomes. The only thing that overcomes that roaring lion is the Lion of Judah, not you, the little house cat.
So let's talk about kind of the tools of the devil, so to speak, not to delve too deeply into the diabolical ways that we have renounced, but it's more than just temptation. Luther often referred to the devil as he was on the attack in other ways than simply tempting, an overt temptation to sin. There are other kinds of attacks. How would you describe them with the few minutes before our break?
I would say other attacks of the devil, one of them is the first place he attacks is the word. And we see this just going throughout the church, the watering down of the word or the idling of the word. Take justification, for instance. We don't need to hear about justification anymore. Pastor, we know we're forgiven. Move on to how we live the Christian life. That is the art of the devil. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about justification. And this happens in our pulpits. It happens in our churches. It happens everywhere. This is the greatest assault that the devil brings on the church, is to destroy the chief article, to destroy the gospel. It's not a temptation. He just blatantly does it. And that's when you look at Luther's quote from the Large Catechism, where the word is not proclaimed and heard all the time, when it's not in your heart, on your lips, and in your ears, there the heart stands idle and the word is not heard, the devil breaks in and does his damage before we realize it. So when the word is not proclaimed and we're not hearing it, that is the work and the assault of the devil.
So what you're saying there is we have to keep in mind that the devil's primary purpose in all of this, whatever he may do, is to rob us of Christ and rob us of the gospel.
Oh, yes, that is his primary task. That was the task in the garden. Did God really say, did he say this? Doubt in the word, doubt in the gospel and the promises of our Savior, that is his primary task. To tempt, he tempts to get that done, but we focus a little too much on that temptation, and then he comes from behind and takes the word right from under us, robs it. I tell you.
Pastor Christopher Hull is our guest. About another 10 minutes with him on the other side of the break. We're talking about resisting the devil. It's Friday afternoon, December the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Hull is senior pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois, and author of an article in the latest Around the Word journal titled Preaching the Devil Out. We'll talk about preaching right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
So that verse 13, you attain together the unity of the faith, which is the knowledge, not of you, but of the Son of God himself. The knowledge of his perfected humanity. The knowledge of the measure of his total imputed, and that means gift, righteousness. You are totally and freely justified, forgiven, perfected by God's work in Jesus on the cross.
Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, making disciples in the Word and Sacraments of Jesus Christ. BethanyLCS.org.
When was Jesus born? When did he die and rise from the grave? And what does the timing of these events have to do with Christian theology and practice for the last 2,000 years? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is titled, When Was Jesus Really Born? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can check out When Was Jesus Really Born at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, When Was Jesus Really Born?
You control your own destiny. Even though God has amazing things in your future, He is limited. But can I give you some good news today? You are uncontainable.
This hour of Issues Etc. wasn't primarily just to give you information about Joel Osteen. It's also to accuse you and me of thinking just like him.
What suffering and heartache and sorrow do you want? Do you want that which God is going to give you? Or will you go and choose your own cross?
First thing you got to do is you have to tear down the biblical text. Then they come along and give you a completely different way of approaching the text so that you can't know anything with certainty. You think that what you're doing is just experiencing it.
In about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four soundbites we'll play for you, and then all you do is listen and give us a call, send us an email, or vote at our Facebook fan page, which you can do in advance, by the way, of Issues Etc.'s Soundbite of the Week. And then it's your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's about a half hour from now. I'm sorry, 20 minutes from now on Issues Etc. We're talking about resisting the devil. Pastor Christopher Hull is our guest. Christopher, what's the role of preaching in the Christian's life lived in opposition to the devil?
It is the attack on the devil. Only preaching, only the preaching of forgiveness, preaching of our atonement, purchased and won on the cross of Calvary, overcomes the power of the devil. Preaching that blessed exchange, when Christ takes your sin and grants you his righteousness, that is the only weapon against the devil. It silences him. It shuts his mouth. It makes him the roaring lion into nothing more than a cute, cuddly puppy. That is what preaching is against the devil in the Christian life. It's not that time. It is learning. There is teaching in the preaching. However, the preaching actually does something. It is the Word of God, the living Word of God, proclaims you forgiven. You are a child of God. You are not a child of the devil. The devil has no power over you. Christ has overcome him for you. Christ forgives you. So when the pastor steps in that pulpit, he is in the stead of Christ, preaching the very word of Christ to vanquish the wicked foe.
So that's why, to come back to something we were talking about before the break, that's why the devil is so intent upon silencing the preaching of the gospel.
Oh, yes. And look at how many ways he does it. How many ways the devil tries to silence the gospel, either through budgetary cuts, let's say. Well, pastor, if you preach a certain way, then people won't give as much. So don't preach the gospel so boldly. Don't preach the law and the gospel in such a way that rubs the devil inside so... Or, pastor, do you realize our church is shrinking? We must preach a different gospel to bring people in. Well, last time people charged the church was to nail Christ to the cross. So, preach the devil out. Preach him out. Do not stop preaching. The moment the pastor decides to listen to the world and listen to the devil, the gospel is done. That's when the church starts dying, is when the gospel is no longer being proclaimed. Not when you happen to notice that the local megachurch is gaining more attendance than your faithful Lutheran congregation.
Could it in fact be that could it be that megachurch there, if it isn't preaching the gospel, has really the devil to credit for its growth?
Ooh, man, that's intense, but yes. The problem today is, and this is my thing, I'm married to my one wife. I love my wife. I would not say that any woman is greater than my wife on the face of this earth. Yet, we in the Lutheran Church, for some reason, say that every other church out there has the gospel better than we do, so we will imitate them. Why are we Lutheran then? We are Lutheran because this is where the truth is. This is the truth of the gospel that preaches and destroys the devil, that forgives sin, that comforts the terrified conscience. It is here. It is not over there where the 20,000 are just gathering together. That is not Christ speaking. That is the devil acting. Christ says they will come as wolves in sheep's clothing, and they are. The devil is active in these places, and pastors must warn their parishioners about them. Don't listen to these evangelical schmucks. Don't listen to Joel Osteen, Beth Moore, Joyce Meyer. Don't listen to these people, because they will lead you down a path of destruction that only ends with a devil's hug.
Do you
I tell you.
Do you think that we have underestimated as much as Christians have kind of been keenly aware of the devil's activity in terms of tempting us to sin, which is certainly true, do you think we've underestimated the devil's attacks on the church as a whole, rather than just on individual Christians?
Oh, yes. I believe we've underestimated it because, well, this is the thing, that we're untouchable. Christ has overcome the devil for us, so now we're untouchable. The church is untouchable. It doesn't say that in Scripture. It says, you will have tribulation. You will have these things. I overcome them. Only the proclamation of the gospel overcomes the devil. Not just the fact that you happen to be a church building or a congregation. The devil attacks all the time. He attacks baptism. He attacks the Lord's Supper. Luther would always say, who's working through Karlstadt? Who's working through the Pope? It's the devil. The devil's working through them to attack the means of grace, to attack the church. And this is the reality of what's going on today. Every time we water down doctrine, every time we don't preach, it is the devil working against the bride of Christ.
Are you saying that these, just some average Joe pastor, maybe not even that great of a public speaker, when he's faithfully preaching God's word of long gospel, when he baptizes maybe a baby a couple times a year, faithfully administers Christ's body and blood from a humble little altar, tiny little flock, that is how Christ overcomes the devil?
That the devil is more afraid of that man than anything in the world. That faithful, humble minister terrifies. I mean, you know what terrifies the devil even more is the fact that that man is a sinner, just like everyone he's baptizing, just like everyone he's communing, just like everyone he's preaching to. That man is the sinner that is forgiven, drowned in the blood of Christ. What a beautiful thing it is how Christ overcomes the devil is through those simple means. It's not through flashy, stupendous, miraculous signs. It is through water and bread and wine. That is how Christ overcomes the devil. So yes, the devil hates those little pastors. He hates those faithful parishioners that receive from those faithful pastors. And he'll do anything to, and as Luther says, if he can't tear them away, he will cause them bodily harm, and he'll do it at all costs.
So can we better understand why it is we so often fail when the devil comes attacking? That we have attempted to do this on our own, or we have attempted to match him will for will or blow for blow, with about a minute before our break.
I'd say we do this is because those means that we just spoke of, they're just too simple. It can't be this simple. That when the devil comes to tempt me, I only have to sing hymn 594. I am baptized into Christ. I'm a child of paradise. Devil, disturb my soul no longer. I am baptized into Christ. You don't have to do battle with him. You just have to say, this is who I am. I'm Christ's. Be gone. You know, this is how Luther would speak of it. But we don't desire to do that anymore because it's not that it can't be that simple. It's just our old Adam doesn't want to go along with it. We fight it our whole life long. But praise the Lord that Christ fights for us our whole life long as well. And he's a much better wrestler than we are.
Pastor Christopher Hull is our guest. We're talking about resisting the devil. A few more minutes with him on the other side of the break, and then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Stay tuned.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated in the black for five consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2013, we're $44,000 short of making our budget. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Are you concerned about weight gain during the holidays? Work out this winter at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Win the war against winter weight. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ at the Center, the Justification of the Ungodly, a Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, the Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
The Compline Choir of St. Mark's Cathedral with the O Antiphon O Emmanuel. It's praying right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. That's our 24/7 sacred music station. Check it out this weekend. This is a great time to go and listen to LutheranPublicRadio.org. You'll hear choral music for the Advent season, and be sure to listen Sunday afternoon at 1 and Sunday evening at 8 Central for our Sunday Bach Cantata. This Sunday, 186 Fret Not, O Soul, uninterrupted, courtesy of the Substitute Organist Service. It's a program that provides liturgy, service music, and hymns when you can't find an organist. Find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com. For the next few minutes, we're talking about resisting the devil. Pastor Christopher Hull is our guest, senior pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois. Christopher, what is the role here, finally, of repentance? The best advice I have ever been given by any pastor in my life on, you know, dealing with the devil is, when he comes knocking, repent, confess your sins. What's the role there?
The only thing that overcomes the devil, as I said before, is the gospel. When the devil comes, he comes to reveal our sin to us. He comes to show us our sin, to say, look at what you've done. Look at who you are. You are not worthy of forgiveness. You're not worthy of Christ's love. You are a terrible person. And what do we do in our society today? Oh, no, you're not a bad person. You just mess up sometimes. Don't worry. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You'll get there. But no. You must look him in the face and say, I repent. I am these things you have said. And I know this. The law has revealed this to me. I am a miserable sinner. I am an adulterer. I am an angry person. I gossip, I slander. I do not honor my authorities. Forgive me, my Lord Jesus Christ. We should rush to that confession. Instead of trying to justify our sin, which we never will, we must understand and receive that it is Christ who justifies us, who makes us acceptable to our Heavenly Father. It is not our justifications for our mistakes, but rather repentance of our sin, and then we are forgiven. That is what overcomes the fiery arrows of the devil.
Finally then, Pastor Hull, how is the devil ultimately, finally, at the end, overcome?
He is overcome in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's overcome in his death and resurrection. And on the last day, he and all of his minions will be cast down. They will be destroyed. As it says, when we read the book of Revelation, when we read through these end times, the devil will not dwell with the faithful. He will not dwell with the saints. He will dwell in that lake of eternal fire. And he is cast there in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He does not have eternal qualities. He does not have an eternal place with Christ or with us. He is overcome. His time is short. It's fleeting. And he knows it. So he's trying to deliver that knockout punch because he knows that the cards are coming in and he's lost.
Pastor Christopher Hull is senior pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois. He's author of an article in the latest Around the Word journal. It's titled Preaching the Devil Out. Christopher, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me. God bless y'all. Keep up the good work. The devil hates you guys for it.